Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff here with Alan Chartok. Nelson Mandela spent nearly a third of his life behind bars as a political prisoner. He emerged in 1990 to lead his country in a peaceful transition to a non-racial democracy after the fall of apartheid rule in South Africa in 1994. Mandela and his struggles and triumphs have been the subject of books, films, and songs. Memorial tributes are happening all over the world for an iconic and universally adored man, some called extra human. Today we want your memories of Mandela. How did his life and work affect you? Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. Again, that's 1-800-348-2551. You can also post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/voxpop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your comments and questions at WAMC Vox Pop. You can email us as well, voxpop@wamc.org. But it's a call-in show. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-348-2551. And Alan Chartok is here. Alan, President Obama has ordered the U.S. flags on government buildings be flown at half-staff until Monday evening. And that is something that is not done very often for foreign dignitaries.
Now, as you know, Ray, there's no two ways about it. Obama owes a great intellectual and personal debt to Mandela, and I think he's made that quite clear. And I think this is something of great importance to him, and I think, frankly, to most of the American people.
You know, it's the influence and the inspiration around the world is amazing, because in addition to the U.S. flying flags at half staff until Monday night, which is something that hasn't been done for a foreign dignitary since Pope John Paul II died in 2005, Canada, France, Norway, New Zealand, Bermuda, Kenya, of course, South Africa, all flying their flags at half staff today. Just shows you in a very small way the influence that this man has had.
Yeah, you know, there's no question. I personally, I mean, the man's 95 years old. I personally felt as if somebody had punched me in the stomach. You know, I think this has had profound personal effect on a lot of people in this world where the common wisdom is, you know, you can't do what he did. You can't bring these two forces to some kind of resolution. It's always got to be fighting and Kalashnikovs and people doing terrible things. And he did it. And for all of us who really do believe that there is and should be another way, you know, we owe him a tremendous debt.
The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Doug in Albany. Doug, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to say that, you know, Nelson Mandela is 95 years old, so he had a wonderful, productive life, and I think it should be a celebration here. But I wanted to also mention a follow-up on your panel, this excellent panel. I commend you on the panel this morning. And one of the things they said, there were also many other people in the movement, but he was the face of the movement. And that indeed is the case with, you know, who come to mind is Desmond Tutu, who was in the Capital Region, was the latest part of a labor effort a number of years ago. And Stephen Biko, who was one of the seminal writings for the left movement, which is called I Write What I Like, and I think it's relevant even today. But as far as the impact on the Capital District here, you have there's an organization called the Capital District Coalition Against Apartheid and Racism. It was headed up by Vera Michelson and Mert Simpson. I can't remember the years, but they did a number of things. They worked on the international cultural and sports and cultural boycott, which is the only thing that the international community could do is just boycott sports and cultural events. And they turned that small effort into something very large that had an impact. And as a matter of fact, they had a protest at the in Albany against the Springboks when they were playing against the Schenectady team in rugby. Mm. And it was got very international attention because the night before the event, there were five leaders that were arrested of the organization on gun charges, and there was an explosion in Schenectady at the headquarters of the rugby team. Okay, despite that, the next day there were 5,000 people that marched in front of Swinburne Park, and they were like, they just shut down the match. They're saying, go home. It was just very, very emotional. But there were guards on top of rooftops with guns, you know, mirroring the crowd. Yeah. There were no injuries or anything like that, but it was a very, very significant event.
Well, Doug, thanks. Alan, do you have anything you wanted to add to this?
No, I was going to raise that very issue, and I'm really glad it came up, because sometimes it hurts a little bit when you can't, protest, and it hurts when an event you really want to see is there. But I think everybody understood why this was so important that there be international attention. I mean, people were dying and everything else, this was very, very important symbol of the world's awareness that they didn't like what was going on. I think you're right.
Yeah, if I could, Merton Simpson went on to be the lead plaintiff in the battery test lawsuit against the state of New York, which resulted in millions of dollars to minority employees, black and Hispanics, and in a change in policy of the way they hired minority employees in the state of New York.
All right,
and
Doug.
Vera Michelson, one second, could I say, Vera Michelson went on to be one of the founding members of Citizen Action. Citizen Action founded the Alliance for Quality Education and the Working Families Party. So this modern day, right now, Nelson Mandela has been a significant impact on the progressive community in the Capital Region.
Doug, thank you so much for the call. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. And we want your memories today of Mandela. How did his life and work affect you? Alan Shartok is here. And we just heard that President Obama will be going to South Africa on December 15th and pay his respect. Let's go to Ilonge on the road on line two. Ilonge, you're on.
Yes. Thank you, first of all, WAMC, for the comprehensive report that you've given on Mandela.
You're welcome.
Mandela is a hero to me, to all of us, to especially those of us who were fighting for liberation, for freedom in the continent of Africa. Well, Mandela himself would not want to take credit because he was one of the most modest person on earth. But after saying that, you and I, and you, all your listeners and callers, if anyone can pinpoint one leader in the world after undergoing the struggle, who calls for peace, and say, I'm laying down arms, I'm not picking up arms again to fight, but I want peace. If we put our five fingers up, I don't think we can get two. So Mandela is a light. Mandela is somebody we all should want to follow.
Well said.
Thank you very much, WAMC. It's a day for celebration, and I'm celebrating.
That's a great way to put it, Ilonge, and thank you very much. Alan, it is a celebration of a life, and it was a long life, and you wonder if the tremendous successes Mandela had, in fact, would have been as tremendous had he not had that sacrifice of a third of his life behind bars.
Well, it certainly was something. Pardon me. I was struck by the pictures of Nelson Mandela walking out of prison with his wife Winnie at his side. Now, they didn't agree on a lot, and they ended up in divorce and all the rest. But Mandela was standing up straight and dignified, and Winnie had her arm up in a clenched fist salute, and the Truth and Reconciliation group came up with some very harsh things to say about Winnie Mandela. Very, very interesting stuff about complicity in murders and other things. And here was Nelson Mandela, who was a man who had every reason, as you just indicated, to be vindictive, to be angry, but who was not. Not that we knew about, and who made it clear that he was looking for a way that people could come together, and that is so rare in this on this earth of ours.
And the politics, NPR did a tremendous retrospective this morning, which we aired at 11 o'clock. Yes. And one of the points was, you know, he was obviously of a more socialist bent, but in order to make the transition smooth, or at least smoother than it might have been, he gave a bit. In other words, economically, he gave a bit from what perhaps Winnie and certainly what he would have wanted in a perfect world.
Well, yes, that's right. That's what a negotiation is all about. And he had to bring these other people, these Afrikaners, to the table. He did. There was the question of nationalization. Are you going to nationalize the mines? Are you going to nationalize the other industry? And he said no. And that led, of course, to the frustration of seeing this inequity between the richest and poorest, which exists, of course, in every country. Not the way that it did and does there. But it is something that if you are a socialist and if you are have been a communist, I think he was at some point, you in an economic sense, not a Stalinist sense, of course, you want to see people having equality of at least opportunity. And I'm sure he was concerned that that wasn't happening.
All right, Alan, let's take a break here. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. A couple of open lines left. Jump in now while you can. 1-800-348-2551. More on a special edition of Vox Pop next.
Support for WMC comes from the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York. Protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974. PreserveNYS.org. NBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management, and retirement planning for individuals and businesses. NBTBank.com. And Bow Wow Bathhouse Resort and Daycare, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. For over 7 years, providing 10 hours of daily indoor-outdoor play, professional grooming, and retail shop. TheBowWowBathhouse.com.
One 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number on Vox Pop. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Greg Graff here with Alan Shartok, and we're looking for your memories of Nelson Mandela, how his life and work all those miles away affect you. And let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Emily in Plainfield, you're up.
Hi, Ray. Hi, Alan. First of all, thanks for airing the tribute this morning.
It was a great show.
It was really great to listen to. Yeah. And I'm kind of afraid my ability to be articulate might not be up to the task here, but I just want to honor his legacy because I feel like in our world right now, people are terrible at respecting those they disagree with. I mean, we see it seems like in our politics in Washington, it's almost a creed to not respect the people that you may have a disagreement with, and then nothing can ever be worked out. And one of the things that Mandela will always be remembered for was the reconciliation he brokered in this completely, you know, violently divided nation. And I feel like we need so many more examples, and he is such a shining one, of being able to sit down with folks you may have been on opposite sides, and in his, you know, position have been brutally, you know, exploited or oppressed.
A real enemy, not just a Democrat and Republican,
right.
But a real, yeah, I see your point, sure.
And so I still respect you as a human being, even if I have a completely different opinion than yours, and I feel like how much better would our society function if more people were able to do that. So I hear his words in the tribute this morning. I think about my memories. I wish I knew more. I was better informed. But I just feel like that's someone we all need to exemplify and learn from.
Wow, that's great. Alan?
No, I couldn't. You know, Emily said that she didn't know if she would be articulate enough.
Yeah.
She was.
You bet. Emily, well done. Was. Thank you for being here today.
Well, thanks for having this program.
1-800-348-2551 is our number. Alan Shartok is here. Ray Graff is here. You are there. And Mark in Albany, you're on. Mark.
Hey, this is Mark from Albany.
Hey.
I just wanted to say he was a real firebrand for people, and I follow him closely, what was happening in apartheid Africa, South Africa in the 80s. I was young, and he did a great thing when he came out. He brought people together, but he didn't fight violence with nonviolence. He was the head of the African National Congress, ANC, if you know that. It was a figurehead. And they were a terrorist group, and there were a lot of bombings going on in the 70s and the 80s. And just a little piece of history.
No, you're absolutely right. There was a violent aspect to that as well. You're right. Thank you.
And I know people don't
on the other...
read into the people don't read into the history like they do, and I followed very closely. I actually donated a lot of money when I was young to the causes. I was able to send money to the right groups. But then I learned later a lot of things that, you know, while there were bombings going on, P.W. Botha offered him freedom in 85 if he stopped the bombings, and Mandela refused it. And that's a fact.
Alan?
Well, one of the reasons that there was a resolution is that not only was Mandela aware of what would come if this ended up into a bloody war, but so were the apartheid people, and they certainly understood what would happen if this thing didn't get resolved. So the real question, I suppose, is would there have been the impetus to end this all the way that it did come out? We heard the clerk this morning talking, saying that. That he was Obama was a great man. If there had not been
Mandela.
This original, I'm
Obama's
so sorry.
Story. I don't look at him as
let's not
do that.
Yeah, no,
today.
We're not doing that now. But that Mandela, I'm sorry for misspeaking. That Mandela was a great man,
but I read all his, if you read the book by Steve Biko,
okay,
his court hearings were the greatest speeches on freedom ever.
Yes.
You know about Steve Biko. He was also killed, unfortunately. It was a very violent place, South Africa. It was horrible.
All right, Mark, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it very much. 1-800-348-2551. But I think the reconciliation and the way everything played out is the big story there.
I think that's right. There's always tension in all of this. And, I'll tell you another guy who resorted to violence in order to get what he needed, and that was George Washington. I think we should remember that.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones, Alan, and welcome Susan and Great Barrington. Susan, you're on.
Hi, thank you. I wanted to tell a story about my experiences in college, being involved at Yale in 1985-86 with anti-apartheid work trying to get Yale to divest from South Africa. We had a tent city, we called it, which is now would be called occupying. And we faced riot police on horseback. And Yale did eventually partially divest after I was gone. But 10 years ago or so, I read Nelson Mandela's autobiography, and I didn't realize that some of my colleagues had been writing to him while he was in Robben Island, in prison. And he writes about the fact that those letters gave him great hope for the cause, and that the student movement was so important to changing things in South Africa, because economic, when universities finally divested, it put economic pressure on the situation. And I was just really pleased, because I didn't know that he even knew that we were doing that necessarily at the time. Also, I have a good friend whose father fought for independence in Mozambique and was assassinated. His name is Mondlane, and she was able recently to send a letter where I told my story to Nelson Mandela to his wife, who I got a report back. She read it to him a few months ago. And
That's great.
I was really happy. I thanked him. I was able to give him my appreciation, tell him what I did, and my involvement still politically and how influential he was. And I, today is a really special day to remember his life, and we knew it was coming. And and I like the last caller pointing out, he did not advocate always for nonviolence. He did up to a point, and then he said, that violence was necessary. And you're right, George Washington. Violence has been used for good causes in history. Nonviolence also, but
that
we shouldn't think that Nelson Mandela was a nonviolent, an advocate of nonviolence across the board. He went to prison for it.
Well, Susan, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Alan, you want to make any comments there?
No, I think Susan makes great sense. I think it's important also to remember where the U.S. government was. I mean, we mentioned earlier that Obama is talking about lowering the flags, or he's ordered the lowering the flags.
Yep, half staff,
But the CIA wasn't a big fan of Mandela, that is for sure. And
it was the Cold War, after all. It played out on that stage.
Yeah, Raymond, you know, it depends on what you mean by the Cold War. You know, if everybody who had a socialist instinct was a member of the enemy, it turned out, of course, then that's one thing. But it turned out, of course, that the whole world respected Mandela. Mm. And that it was probably a very bad idea to be doing some of the things that some of our governmental agencies were doing. That's at least my opinion.
Very interesting. Let's go back to the phones at 1-800-348-2551. And we go to Harry in Glenville. Harry, you're on.
Yes, I am. How are you?
I'm okay.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
During the 1980s, I was involved in what's called the American South African People's Friendship Association. The organization was founded by Dr. Bojana Jordan and Barbara Ellery right in Albany.
Okay.
Dr. Jordan still lives in Albany. His Barbara has regrettably passed away. We have organized probably about a dozen conferences for teachers on what to teach about Africa and emphasizing what to teach about South Africa and the apartheid policies. We did that at SUNY Albany at the Empire State Plaza and actually did it a couple times at the United Nations. And I just think that Bojana Jordan, who does live in Albany, should also be credited for what he did to fight apartheid. And, you know, he actually was imprisoned twice and escaped twice. He had his eardrums broken while he was in prison. Boji has written a book entitled We Will Be Heard. And after Black Rule came to South Africa, it was updated, We Will Still Be Heard. So I just thought, you know, they should know there are people living right here in the Capital District who played major roles in helping to bring down the fall of apartheid. And Dr. Jordan is one of my major heroes.
You know, I took social studies 1 year, either late middle school or in high school, from
ninth grade.
Barbara Ellery, yeah.
Yes, okay. Well, she was teaching ninth grade. I taught ninth grade at Shenandoah.
Uh-huh.
And that was one of the, it was an African-Asian culture study.
She was very, yeah, she, even in those days, and that was a long time ago, late 70s, that was right in her wheelhouse.
Yes, she was an absolutely wonderful teacher, a wonderful human being, and very dedicated.
Well, thank you very much for the call. Alan, you want to weigh in?
Not really. I think that's a great call. And I think that the point that is being made is this movement was a great deal more than one person. I have one sort of thing to say. And as you know, Ray, Rozelle took a group of people to South Africa. And the one of the things that she learned there was it's not pronounced apartheid. It's pronounced apartheid.
Indeed.
And one of the things about that is it's easy to remember because there's a hate in apartheid.
That's a good
point, Alan.
Great point. Hey, Harry, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. It's funny, you know, it is apartheid, and we know that. And yet throughout the day, even on NPR and otherwise, you find many in the both political realm and the press who still say apartheid. That's because back in the 70s and 80s, that's the way you heard it all the time.
Yep.
Let's go to Greg. Greg in Beacon, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call and for having this this discussion. I just wanted to add, as far as personally, I think he's been a great example of fighting for justice with a lot of dignity. And all I really wanted to add to the discussion was to recommend Mr. Mandela's book, Long Walk to Freedom. It was it's a long book, and it's really worth a read, and it gave me a great understanding of his struggles and, you know, the in-depth nature of the fight, and it was a wonderful read, and I recommend it highly to anyone who's interested. Thank you.
Greg, thank you very much. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Alan Shartok is here. You know, there was an article in the New York Times. Obviously, there have been articles everywhere, but there was one by Lydia Polgreen and Alan Cowell. I was reading it this afternoon, and it brought to mind something that sort of slipped my mind, and I'll read you the paragraph. In the Middle East, Israeli and Palestinian leaders offered tributes to a man who had been a staunch supporter of and role model for the Palestinian Liberation Organization, but also recognized what he called the legitimacy of Zionism as a Jewish nationalism. And you had, you know, he one of his first acts as a free man was to visit Yasser Arafat. And yet you have people like Benjamin Netanyahu and Shimon Peres saying, look, his legacy will remain etched on the pages of history and in the hearts of all those people whose lives he touched. So controversy there. But yet those, even in Israel, were speaking glowingly today.
Well, yes. And many of the people who he was most indebted to in South Africa, who helped in the movement against apartheid, were Jewish. In fact, some may have been communists also, but they were Jewish. And I think his sensitivity was honed by that obligation to those people who really felt strongly about their religion and where they came from.
And interesting that in his own way, he was offering a two-state solution for Israel and the Palestinians, probably long before it hit the main stage.
Well, you know, I mean, the beauty of what Mandela offered to the world was this idea that you could get over war and you could resolve your problems by negotiation. And I think that many of us who have high hopes in the Middle East take that example and saying if they could do it in South Africa with this history of hate and all the rest, then they could certainly do it in the Middle East, which is not going to be an easy thing either.
1-800-348-2551. That's Alan Shartok. I'm Ray Graff. You are on the phone, and we go to Steve in Poughkeepsie. Steve.
Hey, good afternoon. Great show. I just wanted to comment on one of the other callers that mentioned that T.W. Both had offered to release Mandela in 85. That would have caused Mandela to relinquish any thoughts of any future, and he just was not willing to surrender his morals, and he's steadfast, and he was willing to stay in prison until he had an equal and a fair-minded release plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way I see it. Believe me, these folks, the white power structure, certainly saw the train coming down the track. Otherwise,
absolutely,
there would have been no such offer.
Absolutely, Alan. You're absolutely right.
All right, Steve, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
All right, great show. Thank you.
Thank you. And the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Mary in Springfield. Mary.
Hi, how are you doing? I'm mourning Nelson Mandela, as everyone is, and I respect him gratefully. And I'm just wondering, Alan's take on what is the difference between what happened in South Africa and our Native American reservations? And don't we have some work to do on that front similar?
Well, we certainly do have some work to do on it. It's one of the things that Americans don't learn about, don't know about, but really was just awful. We know it. We know about President Jackson. We know about the ways in which Indians have been treated, Native Americans were treated in this country, and you could not be more right. There's no glossing it over.
Okay, thank you. I was just wondering your expert opinion.
Well,
not so expert, but intuitive, I can tell you that.
Thanks, Mary. We appreciate it very much.
Great. Take care. Bye-bye.
Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website. It's wamc.org/voxpop, where you will find just a wealth of great background information on Nelson Mandela, including the audio of a few speeches right on our front page. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/WAMC radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, and voxpop@wamc.org is our email address. Alan, you know, back in the old days, we just had phone calls, and now we have all these different ways you can get in touch with us. It's amazing.
We do, and it's amazing that our group seems to like the phone call way the most.
Well, it is a call-in show,
but
we do have one right here from the email. So here we go.
Go ahead, read it. Absolutely.
This is from Linda.
I'm looking myself.
All right, this is from Linda. It is the hope and promise of exoneration that is so meaningful. For people wrongfully imprisoned or suffering long sentences for relatively small offenses or for political offenses, his life must provide so much hope. In our country, we have the biggest prison population in the world, most of whom are minorities and poor people. Parentheses, only about half of them committed violent crimes. Thousands of people were arbitrarily rounded up and imprisoned after 9/11. 86 people completely cleared of charges after being held in Guantanamo for years are still there. There are thousands of people in detention in our country, many of them in private detention centers who have no idea when they will have access to counsel, have a trial, or be released. For people like this and for people worried about harassment for conducting protests and for people wrongly accused, Mandela has to be a source. And that is from Linda via email at voxpop@wamc.org. Alan, we're going to take another short break here, and then back to the phones we will go. 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WMC comes from College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years. CollegeStreetMotors.com. The Alternative Baker, Rosendale. Small batch, all butter, handmade baked goods with allergy-friendly options. Taking orders for Christmas and New Year's. LemonCakes.com. And Charles Padula, DDS, Union Avenue, Schenectady. Cosmetic dentistry utilizing Invisalign where teeth can be orthodontically moved without braces. PaduladDDS.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Today we want your memories of Mandela. Alan Shartok is here, and we go back to the phones. Warren in Averill Park. Warren, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to share with you fellas some brief observations that we made. 8 years ago, we took a trip to South Africa, and one of the stops on the trip was Robben Island.
Hmm.
The very first sight that we saw upon getting out of the bus was a sign over the gate that was put up by the security service that runs the place, saying how proud they were of the work they did. Well, that sign sent chills through my spine. All I could think of was the Arbeit macht frei sign over Auschwitz.
Mm-hmm. And that
it,
was
it gave the same message. What they did was horrible, and they were proud of it.
And that was
go ahead. But Warren, just remember that Mandela was very adamant in forgiving those people. Wasn't that interesting? I mean, you didn't see many of the Jewish population ever forgiving.
No.
You know, the Nazis. But
he
went out of his way to do that. Yeah.
But second observation was the limestone quarry where he worked. This place is huge. It's white. There is no shade. There is no relief from the sun.
Mm.
And he was denied sunglasses. All the inmates were, but especially Mandela. And as a result, he lost the use of his retinas. His tear ducts were non-functioning. It was absolutely terrible.
And it
the third impression, and I think the most telling of all, was in the inmate mess hall. There is a list on the wall of the amount of food, I think bread, that each racial group was allocated. Whites got the most. Coloreds, who were not white but not African black, got the next amount, half what whites would get. And last of all was the native African blacks, who got next to nothing.
Mm.
And this, I mean, it was just horrible because the apartheid system was even in the prison.
Yeah. And it wasn't until much later that he ended up leaving Robben Island and getting back to the mainland, you know, for ostensibly an easier prison. But I'm sure that was no picnic as well.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't, Ray, but it was so blatant. I mean, these three images stayed in my mind like light-striking film. I'll never forget that, where the evil system is even in the prison.
Go ahead,
and
Alan.
Warren, we want to thank you for that, because that's what this program was dedicated to, people's impressions of Mandela.
Yep.
Oh, it's great that you're doing that.
Thanks, Warren.
I'll never forget it. Thanks.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551. We go now to Sebastiani in New Paltz. You're on.
Hi, my name is Sebastiani, and I'm from South Africa. I grew up there and moved to the United States in 1996. And I just wanted to say that Nelson Mandela has been like a major influence in my life. And it was it's really nice to listen to, you know, your show. I was listening to it coming home, and I had to call in and say that my life as a person has changed completely. He was instrumental growing up. You know, he made you have a conscience. He conscientized the nation. And I think he has given us all a gift.
Alan?
How much will he be missed in South Africa? What will people think of? Have they lost a father or a grandfather? How do you see it?
They've lost a family member. I was fortunate enough that when I came home yesterday, my husband broke the news to me. It would have been horrendous if I had heard it over the media first. So it feels like you've lost a part of your family.
How long were you there?
I was born in South Africa, so I left when I was 26. I spent, you know, most of my, you know, my youth in South Africa.
Well, I mean, it's well known that the press was not allowed for a long time to utter his name or show any images. How did you get news?
Everything was, what can I say? It was edited. We weren't allowed to even speak his name. We weren't allowed to mention the ANC. You know, the first boycott I participated was when I was in high school. And at that time, it was something called a tricameral parliament that just started. But it was still, you know, not in the best interest of all South Africans. It represented just three groups of people. And that was my first, you know, political activity. However, there was always the constant threat that, you know, somebody's going to arrest you, you can't talk politics, and it's a whole different world. I was trying to explain to people at work today, you know, what apartheid really meant and the Group Areas Act, and, you know, unless you really lived it, it's hard to even explain to somebody that I grew up in a country where the first time I was with people of different color was when I went to college.
There was a portion of the, I don't know if you heard the NPR special at 11 o'clock, but they...
No, I was at work that time.
But they had audio of city bells ringing at 9 o'clock, and at that time, all the native Africans had to leave. They had to get out of the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, people had to have identification, even they're in different parts, in a part that they were not supposed to be, but call a pass system.
Yeah.
So it's like a whole different. It's just hard to explain. I'm of Indian origin, and I remember once my brother was in the town, and he got into a bus that was predominantly a white bus, and you know, the door was closed on him, and he was a kid. He didn't even know that he was on the wrong bus, and I was telling people at work that the hospitals that you work for. You know, even had signs saying European whites and non-whites. By the time I had graduated and started working, they were taking the signs down, but you could see evidence of it still. They had bathrooms for different people of different color, you know, so it was mainly whites and non-whites. So it's hard to put into words, like all the thoughts and feelings that come to mind. And, you know, he's left behind a legacy, and that will last forever.
You've done a great job, and we appreciate it. Alan, you want to get a last word in here before we say goodbye?
No,
to Sebastian?
I couldn't say anything more after that.
Well, thank you so much for the call. 1-800-348-2551. Frank in the Berkshires. Frank, you're on.
Oh, yes. Good evening. Well, good afternoon. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
Of course, you know what? Frank is, I just want to play devil advocate and have a comment. I'm wondering what Fox News or Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, has to say. I have not heard anything from him yet. I'm sure I'm waiting for the criticism of President Obama lowering the flag or making, heading for the funeral of the great leader Nelson Mandela.
So you're wondering what Rush
you might not
you might not you want that yeah, here that on not, this station. They're not honest.
Yeah, you might not believe it, but I don't listen to those guys, so I don't have the slightest idea. One can guess.
That's what Google is all about, Frank. Yeah. Thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551. You're heavily involved in programming, so they probably won't be on during the day anytime soon, right, Alan?
Rush and those other guys.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we're going to see them here.
Okay, you sure?
Although we do discuss them from time to time on the media project. They don't come out all that well.
No, you've had some negative things to say. Let's go.
Yes.
Let's go back to our phones at 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. I see a lot of lines blinking, but Patrick, the call screener, is shaking his head. And I don't know exactly what that means. So we'll vamp for a moment, Alan, in the key of E.
Yeah, sure. Key of E. Gotcha.
Ready?
Yes.
Vamp. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. And we'll be happy to take your call.
You know, there is one other thing, Ray, that is important. And I think our last caller put her finger right on it, and that is this country is not that far away from its own apartheid, from what happened in the South, from the marches and the people who participated in it of all races and all colors and all religions in terms of putting a stop to it. And so when the flags in America are put at half-mast, I think – have staff, yes. Mast isn't correct, I take it.
Yes, no. You are. Okay. Correct, sir.
So, oh, yeah. So I'm correct that I'm not correct.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, so.
It's like an Abbott and Costello routine. But, anyway, go on.
Right. Yeah, but, you know, you're good at it. But, you know, there is a certain salute to all those people who suffered in this country in the same way that South Africa did. It's what brings us so close to the message of Mandela. And, you know, you don't hear a lot about it. But when Barack Obama talks about how his main influence in getting started in this political world was Nelson Mandela, you get a sense of what African Americans, for example, in this country, as well as a lot of the rest of us, are feeling, because we're not that far out from it. And I think we have to put that on the table.
All right, let's go back to the phones, and I can't quite read it. Is it Rena in Plainfield?
Yes.
You're on.
Oh, thank you. I am, as everyone else, saddened greatly that Nelson Mandela has left this world, but we have a political prisoner right here in our country. It's close to 40 years that Leonard Peltier, a Native man, has been kept in prison. He was framed. They won't give him a retrial. And it's been a nightmarish thing. President Clinton almost pardoned him and then was warned by the FBI.
Right.
We don't know who did it, but somebody's going to pay.
All right. Well, listen, that's a different show, and obviously there are law enforcement people who would take issue with you, but thank you for the call, and we'll pick that one up, as we have done in the past on Vox Pop. Tom in Milan. Tom, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to tell a quick story. I was in South Africa as a college student in 1972. For a short while, and was at the University of Cape Town. And I remember going to a little conference that was going on there, and there was these two 20-year-olds, I guess, young, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Aryan-looking kids talking to a group of college students who were, and they were mixed black and white in that group. And they were reading from a paper talking about how it was proven scientifically that if there was interracial marriage, that it drastically affected the IQ of the children. And I remember a young kid from an interracial marriage, you know, like a black-skinned kid, spoke up and said, "Well, hey, I'm from that type of marriage, and I'm fine." And the kids, the speaker said, "You know, well, we don't really believe this stuff. They just kind of like make us do this. This is what we're paid to do." So. That was just kind of an eye-opening thing that the rhetoric or you know, that they talked about the government, that the official government was trying to promote, the people weren't behind it.
Interesting. Alan?
Pretty scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty scary, because the analogy to Nazi Germany again is, you know, is right there. Same rhetoric, same stuff. And it just is blood-curdling. It's awful.
Let's go to Ed in Hillsdale. Hi, Ed, you're on.
Hi. Just a comment on Mandela and nonviolence. As far as I understand it, the African National Congress was founded on Gandhian principles, was always nonviolent, and it only changed policy after the Sharpeville massacre in 1960. And after that, Mandela was involved in apparently some violent acts, but only against property. I don't believe that he ever endorsed violence against people.
Okay. Ed, thank you. Let's go over to David in Pelham. David.
Hi. I remember when Mandela was released from prison, Tom Toll did a cartoon that was just so, it was funny and also very appropriate. And it showed, it had two panels. And the left-hand panel, it showed them taking Mandela into prison. And he's going to this doorway, and he's the same height as the guards who are leading him in. And the right-hand panel is, you know, it had the dates. I forget what year he came out of prison, but it had the dates, the beginning and the end. And when they came out, he was like 10 times taller than the prison guards upon his release. And one of the guards is commenting, that'll teach him, you know, because his stature grew so much in prison. And I heard on the NPR program this morning, they talked about how Robben Island was the University of the Struggle, where they were actually training people who were coming through Robben Island as part of the ANC struggle and encouraging them to learn and teaching them and stuff. And it's just such a great testament to the human spirit and to Mandela's spirit and all the people involved, really, not just Mandela, but it was an amazing thing.
Alan?
I couldn't agree more. What a man. How often do we see anybody like this? Can anybody name a contemporary hero of his stature? The answer is probably not.
Let's go to Ricky in Great Barrington. Ricky, you're on.
Hi. My father was an entertainer, Alan. I've called before. He was a comedian and a pianist, and he toured in South Africa and the countries around South Africa when I was around 13 years old, and he was against racism of any kind, and we felt, actually, you could feel the racial tension there. It felt as if...
And we're not allowed to use his... We're not allowed to use his name?
Oh, absolutely.
Your
no,
father's you name?
Oh, yeah.
Victor Borgia? Yeah.
Victor Borgia, yeah.
Yeah.
Ah. And... He was a humanitarian, and he refused to play in one of the theaters that did not allow non-whites. And as soon as he did that, the secret police were on us. They were monitoring our phone calls. They were opening our mail. At that time,
I suspect they were doing that before he
probably,
did that.
Probably, but you felt it a lot more then.
All right, Ricky. Go ahead.
It was frightening, and it was we felt bad that only the whites could sit down on the lower level of the theater. Everyone else had to sit up in the balcony in the theaters that even allowed non-whites. Mm. It was frightening to be there, really.
Well, Ricky, thank you very much for the call, and Sandy in Mount Washington. About 30 seconds, you'll be our last one.
Yeah, you guys. Alan tied it right in with the civil rights parallel. Really, we were all going through the same thing in the 50s and 60s. And Martin Luther King was a pretty good example, you know. But it's what Mandela's courage is what it counts all the way through, you know.
Great way to end the program.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks for doing this.
Sandy,
lots of love.
Thank you. We appreciate it. And Alan, thank you, sir. We appreciate you hanging in there with us today. And have yourself
delighted to do it.
Have a lovely weekend.
We're all very affected. We're all very affected by this. This is really something.
Well, we appreciate it. And if you want to continue to join us on the conversation or in the conversation, send us an email, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. Support comes from Edward Gerbarsik. Grabostic, I should say, certified financial planner, Havokin Wealth Strategies, Wilbraham, Massachusetts, providing customized financial retirement strategies for those approaching or in retirement. HavokinWealthStrategies.com. SUNY Ulster Online, introducing Fast Finish for adult learners with online accelerated courses for associate's degrees in as fast as 17 months. SUNYUlster.edu/fastfinish. And Bennington Museum, hosting Hidden Gems, Festival of Trees Gala, December 14th, silent at live auctions, hors d'oeuvres, desserts, live music, and more. BenningtonMuseum.org for details. Thanks again for being with us on this special edition of Vox Pop on a Friday afternoon. Zach Molloy was our engineer. Your calls were answered by Patrick Garrett and Blaze Bryant, our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. Thanks again to Alan Chartok. I'm Ray Graff. Stay tuned now for a news update.